Hey, what's up, guys? What's happening? What is going on? Welcome to the Afro Gospel Podcast. It's yours truly, Tola Omoni. And you know, on the Afro Gospel Podcast, we bring to you some of the finest players within the Afro Gospel space. I mean, we bring some of the OGs, we bring some of the new guys, from producers to artists to event managers to artist managers, name it. We bring them here so we can talk about this fast-growing genre, Afro gospel, urban gospel music in Nigeria, across Africa, and now even to the rest of the world. Okay, so this week, my guests is special. I have a special guest. Did I get it right? Anyway, when it comes to Afro gospel, this guy has produced some of the biggest Afro gospel songs within the last few years. And in case you probably didn't know his name that well, you must have heard Special in one or two of your favorite Afro gospel songs. Today, guys, please, let's welcome to the Afro gospel podcast, my man, T-Bab. Special. What's up, mommy?
How are you doing? I'm well. I'm blessed. How is it going, man, sir?
Always good to connect with you, man. Always good to connect with you.
Sound good.
So, let's talk Afro gospel. There's a lot to talk about, you know. And but first of all, special. You know, I don't know when you started using special, but that is a signature sound for you. And a lot of producers have that. Sometimes it's the name of the producer. Sometimes it's just a particular sound. But producers have this signature sound to put in songs that are produced.
Yeah.
How did special come about? Special.
So, I think I was using T-Babs on the beat before. I don't know if...
A female voice, Abby.
T-Babs on the beat. Yeah. So... because I watch a lot of interviews, like, you know, producers and, you know, all those things. And so I think I watched one that I just thought about it. Like, you know, sometimes artists do not really like name, like maybe like a brand name on their songs, right? So I just thought about it that instead of, you know, T-Babs, that's my you know, producer name, let me just have like a tag or like a signature, you know. You can't really put it, but you know, it's just a tag, a signature. So I called one of my friends, that's Remus. So I was like,
was Remus?
Yeah, it was Remus that did that vocals.
Really? That's special.
Yeah, he did the vocals, I tweaked it, you know, to make it like deep, like deep vocals, and I just put effect and all that, but he wasn't the one that did that vocals. So I just told him to do like special, you know, and the name just came, special.
So don't be say like revelation day.
No, don't be revelation.
I was in the spirit on the Lord's day.
No. No be revelation. It just came. That name just came, special. You know, I just told him, like, you know, record special. There were two. I told him to record special and one. Reco. There's no meaning to that one.
I use the reco. Me too, I want to start producing. Let me use reco as my name.
I think I put it in few of... I think there's one song, Limo Blaze and Steel... Still Shady and a few other songs, but I just like I was gonna stick to special. So
special, I like it.
Yeah, I mean, and I picked not before. I just like when I use the name, I just pick what's this? There's this passage in the scriptures that says what's it called? I think it's First Peter.
I told you guys.
Yeah, this passage that says chosen
generation, royal
chosen people. Generation, you know, God's special possession.
Come on now. I told you.
A brand of darkness into the marvelous light. So like that, you know, that passage was just like when I saw that passage, you know, so I just believed more in that special, like, you know, this is it. You know. So that's it.
So we have a special guest on the show today, T-Babs. Like I said, and I'm very sure about that. I haven't done a proper research into like listing all the Afro gospel hit songs that you have produced over the years. But let's break it down a little bit. Let's rewind to the beginning, to when you started producing the songs that we know you for today. But before that, the Afro gospel itself, let's even say urban gospel generally. For you, what was your first connection? What was your first introduction to gospel music? Even before producing the songs to consuming the songs, what was your earliest memory of this whole urban gospel music?
Earliest memory.
Best throwback.
I think that should be Rooftop MCs.
Rooftop MCs. Okay.
Yeah, Bori, Miwu. I think Rooftop MCs and Eriso. That's one song Eriso sang back then. Yeah, that was like my first introduction to like urban music. Honestly, Rooftop MCs. Like? Yeah, and that period. I was also like doing music but not producing. I was a rapper then. So then
you were a rapper.
Yeah, I was a rapper then. So then we'll get Rooftop MC's beats. Then we'll write to it. Like till I was in a group then, we'll write to it, then perform it in like school fellowship and all that. So yeah, I think Rooftop MC was the guy for me. You said what?
What was the name of your group?
Expression.
So you're telling me now there was this 3-man rap group called Expression that T-Raps was a part of. Now the other two guys, are they still in music today?
No. No, they're not in music, bro.
Interesting, yeah. You know, I had a chat with Ike, who is an events producer, on one of our interviews, and he was a member of a rock band before, and the fact that he was an artist before makes him even a better event manager and an artist manager, because he's been there. So you, as one who's been rapping before, as an artist in some way, it kind of like benefits you as a producer today, right?
Yeah. I was rapping at some point, then I switched to singing.
You were singing?
Yeah. So still in that same group. You know, I think I started rapping, I was singing, you know, like, I was the R. Kelly of the group.
Come on now. So, first off, what year was this?
So this was like 2000 and, I think 2008, 9, thereabout. Yeah, really long time. 2008, 2009,
you were still writing songs. And by the way, were these songs Christian songs or were they not?
Yeah, Christian songs. Okay. Yeah, so, like I started writing songs like right from when I was in secondary school.
So it's not like you were doing mainstream or secular music before you then moved to start doing Christian music. You started off as a Christian artist.
No, not as a Christian artist. So this when I was in secondary school, right? That's when I like started writing music, you know, and that's like another story, because I had a group then, and that group too was called in secondary school, like it was Champion Squad, that was the name. It was called Champion Squad, and then we're not doing like we're not doing gospel music, not at all. A secondary school, we're not doing gospel music. So, you know, until I got to uni, you know, got to uni and not serious gospel music, not until 2013. You know, I was just in fellowship, you know, not that we were like, I was like a serious Christian until 2013, you know, that like really consecrated my life to Christ and, you know, had the conviction, you know, about my faith, you know, and about, you know, the music I was doing then, you know, so.
This is very interesting because I never knew the singing part of T-Bobs. I never knew about. Okay, so let's give a shout out to some of your alumni that might be listening to the show. What school was this?
Expression. Udegbe North America University. That's the school in Benin Republic.
Okay. All right. So now tell us about when you discovered that, hey, maybe it's not singing. Maybe it's not rapping. Maybe it's production. What was that switch like for you?
So I'm an introvert, very introverted guy. So I can remember when I was in school, like anytime we have like ministration or anything, I'm always very shy to climb on stage. Like very shy. There was a time I was performing, and one of the guy came behind me to push me forward because it was my verse. So he just came, used his hand, like, stylishly to push me forward. I'm like, guy. So I'm a very introverted guy. And so I wasn't finding the singing and the rapping, like I love to do it. But when it comes to, like, to do it for, like, to perform and all those things, like, I wasn't just, you know, comfortable, you know, like, that expression. it was not really there, you know. And for some reasons, I just fell in love with production. I just wanted to know how, you know, music is made, like, the beats, how, you know, how these beats made, you know, how they put songs together, you know, out of curiosity and all that. And that's when I began to, like, go to YouTube, you know, to, like, you know, how to make beats, you know, all these things, you know, you get on YouTube and all that. And that's how the love started, really, you know.
So is it safe to assume that you were self-taught?
Yeah, self-taught. And this production actually started from secondary school. Like, the production thing.
Champion squad.
Yeah, from the champion squad, you know, because I'm from a pastor's, like, I'm a pastor's son. So then in secondary school, I already knew I wanted to do music. Like, I wanted to just do music, you know. So that was that time, you know, we had this computer, you know, just play around with the computer, you know, because it has one music software then. I just play around with the computer, you know. So I was just more, you know, music, write songs then. And for some reason, my parents took me, not for some reason, for that purpose, they took me to a boarding school. You know, so so throughout my secondary school, you know, so when I got to uni, you know, so that's when, you know, I began to, like, really pick the production, you know, serious, you know, to, like, go further, to make research, you know, and all that. So it was more of self-taught. You know, there's this guy, his name is Woye. And TBZ, you know, like, they're like very good. So sometimes I just go to their, you know, studio, you know, see what they're doing, you know, and all that. But the foundation, it was like self-taught.
That's interesting. Yeah, I know Lima Blaze was also self-taught, you know, but we had that conversation before where he just goes on YouTube and learns this stuff. And then he's another fantastic producer, but that's for another day. Okay, so I'm still not able to get over the singing T-Bob's part, but
really, I'm funny enough. Maybe I don't know. Don't put this out. Maybe you might just get like what's it called? an album from me.
I mean,
singing untrue.
I would like to hear it. I would like to hear it because, you know, and you know that whenever you say don't put this out, that's the part that we get to put out.
Ah, come on. I mean, most, and the thing is, most of even the songs I produce, I usually have like a demo. You get like maybe if I send to an artist, I can have like a demo. I just do like a demo, make melodies. Do you understand? Like just make melodies and just send to the artist. And if the artist like it, they can just use it. And in fact, most of them, they if they are not going to use all of it, they just take sections of, you know, sections of my melodies and just, you know, work around it. I do that. And it really helps me as a producer, you know, like when I'm producing, I'm already having like melodies in my head, you know. Oh, so, yeah, I mean, few people I work with, they know, they know that T-Babs has the voice.
T-Babs. I love it. Okay, now let's talk about Afro Gospel. You have, over the years, grown to become one of the top-rated Afro Gospel producers. When it comes to that sound, when people want to get that quality, top-notch Afro gospel sounds, and you're thinking about a producer, one of the first names that comes to mind is T-Babs. And even as we keep hearing these new songs, we keep hearing your signature all over these songs. So let's take it back. How did this start? You know, Afro gospel, the new age of Afro gospel, the new era, the new age is blowing up. What would you say those breakthrough songs that caused Afro gospel to break through, especially in the last 3 to 5 years, or let's say 5 years, what songs would you say have been very, very instrumental in breaking borders?
There are a lot of songs, actually, because a lot of artists are really, you know, putting in work to, for what Afro gospel is today. You know, I wouldn't say it's just one artist. You know, there are a lot of, you know, guys putting in work. But of course, we have like the breakthrough songs, you know, like the,
I think the one I can really pick out, it really started from when Limo did the Bridges. For me, like when it, like the started from when Limo did the project Bridges with That Truth. I don't know if you know the project.
Yeah, sure. The collaborative album with That Truth.
Yeah, collaborative album. You know, when he did that album, for some like reasons, the Afro gospel began to get that recognition overseas, began to get that. Sorry, 1 second. Began to get the recognition. And I mean, both home and abroad, you know, like the likes of Angelo. Angelo did one song, Open the Door. That song was everywhere. Yeah. You know, Obaringi did Do Something. A lot of artists, you know, I think Open Do Something, Almost There. That was another record that, you know, really got everywhere. You know, there are many, I can't start, you know, but like for last 2 years, I think Jara, you know, was that like breakthrough song. Victor Thompson, This Year, was another breakthrough song. I think the song, the song, Miracle No Detail Jesus, that song.
Moses Blaze, yeah.
Yeah, that's an Afro gospel song, yeah. Yeah, I think that song too, like, you know, popped. So, yeah, that's just like the song that I know that really went like global, that I know of that I know of. Those are like the songs that really went global.
Yes, I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you on some of those sounds. Those sounds like really broke borders across.
Yeah.
I was trying to also like rewind to possibly those, that era that led to, that built up to these moments, you know, because these moments now, like Jaira is like, in a number of doors, you know, little doors that have been opening that literally led up to this stage. But I think, for example, an album like Afro Gospel Wrapped in Jesus, Limo Blaze's album, I think that was 2019. I think that was very, very instrumental as well into opening.
Did you do that before the Bridges? Or I forgot it.
It was before Bridges. That was.
It was before Bridges. Yeah.
Your Love with DJ of Red. I had, you know, Marizo, you that had.
Yeah,
you know,
I think it has Juju on it too. That's Juju. That's the project.
yes.
That's the one.
That one, yeah. I think that was a breakthrough point that ushered in a lot of great stuff. But anyway, let's get on to some more stuff. Now let's talk about sound as a producer. So when we're talking about Afro Gospel, from the producer's angle, I mean basically we're talking Afro beats here, right? So when we're talking about Afro beats, what are those elements? As far as you're concerned, as a producer, what are those elements that you say are very fundamental in the cooking, the cooking of this Afro gospel? When you're cooking these Afro gospel meals, for example, mm-hmm. what major ingredients would you say? Now this one has to be here. If this one not the inside, you know, Afro beverage.
I think it's the pattern, one. The pattern and the choice of instrument, like congas, you know, percussions, you know, percussion and the pattern of like the, you know when you hear like trap music, it's like so when you hear Afrobeat, it's either you know that pattern or you have like Afro, there's Afro swings, there's Afro pop, Afro. But it's majorly the pattern, you know, and percussions, you know,
percussions.
So that's like, for me as a producer, if I'm going to make an Afro beat instrumental, I'm thinking of percussion, I'm thinking of the pattern, you know, out, you know, that's basically what it is, the percussions, the pattern. You know, the sequencing, how, you know, the rhythm, basically. So I think that's it for me.
So for you now, when you're cooking your beats, or you're mm-hmm. cooking, when I say, not just even the beat, like the whole experience, where you have to mix the voices, and then you have to, you know, whatever it is that you guys do, you know, all the way to mastering the project, what is the T-Babs way of running your stuff, and the way you work with artists? Do you just create the beats? Do you just, you know, just like artists get music, do you just get the beat in mind and then you think, oh, hey, this person will be good on this beat, and you call the person to work on it? Or do you have people come to you and just try to, like, you know, sing a particular sound and then you make the beat out of it? And what is the process like? Does it take like a long time, or, you know, is it like bang, 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 you just get it and then you get into the studio and bang, that's it? What's it like for T-Bab?
Yeah, for me, it's both ways. I mean, there are times that I just get inspired to maybe a melody or a drum pattern or anything. I just start making, not necessarily an artist reaching out to me, I will just start, you know, making the instrument, and maybe while making it, I'm like, oh, probably this guy, you know, would fit this instrumental, or this person would fit this instrumental, you know, if it's somebody I know, you know, I'll just, you know, pitch it to the artist, you know.
or if it's someone that, you know, that has to go through, maybe person signed and all those things, are probably pitch it to like the management, you know, of that artist, you know, just to, you know, to get it to the artist. And sometimes, like, if the artist reach out, you know, okay, I have this melody or I have this idea or whatever idea they have, you know, they just let me know. Then I just, you know, carry on from there and, you know, just do what I have to do as a producer, make the beat, you know, in terms of melody or sometimes some artists will just come with like raw stuff, no beat, no nothing. Sometimes some of them want, like, they have just written stuff, no melody to it. They just have like no melody to it, and most times I'll tell them, okay, I can put melodies to it, or where we get like another songwriter, you know, that will put melodies to it, you know, and we get, you know, we have a song, you know. So yeah,
all these things we're talking about is a lot going on. Yeah,
it's a whole lot going on.
I want to believe there are certain times that some artists will be hard to deal with. Okay, so on a very serious note now, because we have a number of these artists who mm-hmm. listen to the podcast, right? And on a serious note, yeah, mm-hmm. if you can share with them like one or two tips as to how this would end this suffocate producers, maybe one or two tips that could actually help them, you know?
I feel like they should self-develop themselves, mm-hmm. you know? Like, there's a case I had with a lady, you know, she got this particular song. I mean, I think she just brought this particular song to me, and she was, I think she took reference from Nathaniel Bassey. So I did mm-hmm. the song, and she was still making reference, like, you're singing off key. Like, what she did was off key. We had to start pitch correction. It was not even sounding like a woman being at the end. It was just sounding robotic, and because you get what I'm saying, like, it was she, you know, and you keep making reference, like, it's just like difficult for the producer. Like, the producer is not like a magician. So I feel like artists should like self-develop themselves at least to a point, you know, before coming to the producer. And for also artists that has this, like, just they have the idea already, or maybe they have like a full knowledge of how they want the song, they are an amazing artist, my tip or what I would say regarding that is that they should be open-minded, you know, when working with a producer. You know, the mm-hmm. producer also have like concept and ideas, you know, so they should be open-minded and come to like a compromise or a balance, you know, whereby the producer, you know, gives his idea, you know, and the producer also take their advice, you know, instead of like, now this is what I want you to do, so I want you to do this, what you do. I mean, mm-hmm. and even if you know, like, even if sometimes, of course, the artist might have like the artist idea might be like very, very brilliant, you know, but I feel like there should still be a balance, like, let the producer, you know, do his thing too. Yeah, basically.
So there's at least some room for creativity in the room.
Not exactly.
Ways.
Chemistry. Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. You know, I just remembered now when you were talking about, you know, the T-Bob's way of making music, making creations and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And then you said something about how sometimes the music, the beats comes to you. And, you know, I'm just thinking about music and how spiritual it is. For some producers or some artists, you know, before they go on stage or before they create, they have to, you know, take one or two, you understand, so that they can, you know, connect with some. So however we get to look at it, either from the negative way or from the positive way, it's no doubt that music is spiritual.
Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm.
because we do the kind of music that we're talking about here is Afro gospel, Afro beats. Mm-hmm. People get to look at it like, I'm a little serious, Jerry. You know, it's like, it's one of those vibes, and inshallah.
Those vibes.
You know, So for you as a main player within this Afro gospel community and as a producer, would you agree with the fact that music is spiritual? And what experiences do you have personally, you know, and also within your friends within this, you know, this circle as to this spirituality of this whole thing?
Yeah, music is like very, very spiritual, you know. It's a trigger. It can trigger your emotion, can trigger your thoughts, you know. It can make you feel some kind of way, it can make you feel violent, it can make you feel... Music is like mysteriously spiritual, you know. I'm bringing it to like the Afro gospel and even the artists, you know. I know it's more than the vibes. I mean, few artists that I know that really put in not just recording and, you know, the old background or whatever, like even their lives, you know, tell like this one is really, you know, about the ministry, is really about, you know, Christ being the center and about what they are, you know, giving out to the audience or to the listeners, you know, in terms of lyrics. I've been in writing sessions, you know, and in those writing sessions, you know, like, you know, when you, it's not just like the surface, like surface lyrics, you know, it's like something meaningful, more deep, you know, and sometimes we have to like go into the scriptures, you know, to get like inspiration from there, you know, that is done also. And I feel like it's beyond, it's revival, like Afro gospel is just revival, you know, among young adults especially, you know. So, you know, when you go to, I've done that, like going online and just seeing comments, because all when it comes to my song, I pray on my song, I pray about like wanting that song to bless life. Do you understand? It's not just the song I release, like even songs I produce for like other people. Like I want the song to really bless the life of people, not just, oh, it's good music, or it's, you know, it's that, oh, the beat is nice, or oh, it's no, like the life-changing testimonies, you know. And some, there was a time I just went like on the like comments and I see people saying, I use this song in my quiet time, you know, when I was sick, this is the song that gave me hope, you know, stuff like that. That's the kind of testimony, you know, that comes from the songs. And I personally want to see like this testimony. So when you have testimonies like that, it's not just vibes, you know. Yeah. it's not just vibes. It's beyond the vibes, you know. So I feel like Afro gospel is just God's plan and it's revival, basically. Yeah. Especially among young adults, yeah.
Man, it's revival, yeah. You know. Just saying that now, yes, there's the beats, there's the music, that's good. But it's much more than that. It's finished. And you know, let's be honest, yeah. I won't lie to you. It gets some people where we say, because Afro gospel is becoming more accepted now, and certain people are just delving into it just because
they're
brave now. And you hear certain songs, and you're like, there's nothing in here. Like, I'm not saying you have to quote scriptures. I'm not saying you have to, you know, speak in tongues on a record. But you know, you can just tell that. This is a bit shallow. This is just, maybe you're just doing it because that's what everybody is doing. So it's good to hear you point out that this is revival. This is just a different genre, but it's the same word of God that's been passed out, you know, through music. So that's really beautiful.
Now you mentioned, I think you mentioned the artist. Yeah, you mentioned the artist, right? Did I answer that? Okay. I mean, like, yeah, I think I answered that. Yeah. About being beyond the vibe and the artists, like, yes. Some of them have, like, having to small, like, this, secular guys having to smoke to get inspiration and all that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, I think it's just different over here. Like, I know few artists that really take their spiritual life, you know, serious. You know, like the Bible studies, fasting, prayer time, you know, this and that, you know, just to keep their spiritual life, you know, going, you know. So it's not, you know, when you think about, when you see the likes of Nathaniel Bassey, you know, Dunsin, you know, like these men are really, you know, so when you see someone like maybe the Obarengis, and you think they're not serious, but they are like if you go into their personal life, they are like really amazing Christians, like amazing, like children of God, you know. They are not jokers when it comes to Christianity. So,
ministry, yes, man.
So it's ministry. Really, it's really beyond the vibes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool stuff. Now, but before I let you go, there's something I want us to talk about, which is sampling. And, you know, I have been, you know, studying a lot of legendary producers over the years. I'm not even talking Christian producers, you know. I talk about the likes of Timbaland and, you know, Diddy, Dr. Dre, and, you know, the list goes on and on. And you see that just like fashion, that is, say, it goes like, it's like a circle, it keeps going round. And sometimes, you know, for example, it's Afrobeat season right now. At some point it was hip hop. You know, it's like these sounds keep evolving. But you see that they sometimes take some beats or some progressions, some cut out progressions from like a song 50s or from the 60s, and then they recreate it. They might just take like the hook and then sample it into a new record and make a new record out of it. You know, I saw this guy, was it on TikTok or Instagram now, who did like a series on some of Kirk Franklin's records. Is some of his hit songs, and he traced the original sounds that he picked, that he sampled some sounds from, and it's beautiful. It's an art, yeah. So, as a producer, do you listen to like some of those old tunes from the crates, and like, do these things actually add to your production? I remember just before I let you say that, I remember having this conversation with Limo Blaze at some point talking about Jairi, which was like Elevation Worship and Maverick City originally, but the progression almost goes like dun 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 dun. You know, not exactly, but it could actually fit into that cutout progression. Mm-hmm. And that progression has tons and tons of songs that have come from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. You listen to 24/7, you're 24/7. And I'm like, okay. You know, and I'm hearing like the progression that can actually fit into you know, so these progressions, just, you know, you hear these progressions and certain progressions, different progressions, cutout progressions, come back time to time again. And it's a conversation that keeps going on. But from a producer's perspective, what do you have to say about this?
Yeah, before 247, 247, like, really, when talking about, like, sampling is an art. It's like, it's part of music, you know, and when you talk about like progression, like, you know, old school progression, this progression, that progression, I feel like there's nothing new, right? Like, there's no new chords, there's no new progression. They don't use all the chords. It's just about being unique about it. But if you still go to the like ground, like the notes and everything, is someone else has used it, you know. And I've had like situations like that, you know. This song Pretty Day, we did that song like 2 years ago. Amazing. Yeah, we did that song like 2 years ago, and
really?
Yeah, it was released last year. Yes, it was just released last year. We've done that song like a long time ago, and so I think someone on YouTube or Instagram made a comment that song sounded like that we took the idea from a song
one of the song Whiskey Drop, I think last year, you know. I mean, this song, I think Lima even posted about it, like, you know, we've done this song like since, you know. But the thing is, music real, like, it's just recycled sometimes, you know, but you just have to be unique about what it is. Except you are being intentional, like sampling a particular song, like, you know, taking maybe a chorus of a song, mm-hmm. To, you know, do your own, or you're taking maybe a particular beat or a particular signature sound, or maybe of like an old school, like a signature sound, and you just try to put it in your own record, you know, and all that, just go about it. But I feel like this is just, there's nothing new actually, you know, it's just,
yeah,
I think
it's even a good thing when you sample right, yeah, because there's difference between sampling and lifting, you know. When you sample and you sample it well, I think it's,
yeah.
For example, Burna Boy's song, that's a sample. I think that's a really good sample, because you're actually taking some instruments, some elements, and then you're actually recreating it to something good. Now, while we're still talking about
even in the Christian, or like songs within these songs, some people still take those songs and put it, that sampling.
I was gonna talk about that, and you know, we are seeing a lot of that happen lately, like Darling Jesus, which actually did pretty well.
You see, that's sampling,
and I like it, I love it. I mean, Elsa Beats put out a song, I think it was last year.
The one he put out with T Dogs and Obaringi. There's one new song.
That's a new one, yeah, yeah.
That's like Talk About Abyss, you know, vibe, and it went well. It was like, it's an amazing song.
It has done a lot of sampling with all these CSC sounds from back in the day, and
it's really good with it.
Because how many of all these choruses, where would they sing for church? There's enough to do with that. So mm-hmm. Yes, I'm looking forward to more of all those songs. Maybe say old school sounds, old school choruses, making a new record out of it. I think it's a good way for us to even document and keep mm-hmm. these sounds alive for generations. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yes, mm-hmm. yes, absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, before I let you go, what do you think the future is for Afro Gospel? You have not been here from the beginning, yeah, but you have played a very, very huge role in the past couple of years creating records. From your standpoint, where do you see Afrobeats? Afro gospel. Where do you see Afro gospel in the near future?
I feel like, I mean, the future can be like maybe next year or in 2 years time, but like soon, you know. I feel like it's gonna be like a renowned movement. Like, when I mean renowned, like a renowned movement, and I feel like it's like we have great artists also like spring up. Yeah. I mean, not just like more artists like spring up to do great things. There'll be more structure, you know. And also, like, even in terms of having like an Afro gospel event and like having like 20,000 capacity Afro gospel, you know, that's gonna happen. Really, that's gonna happen with what I'm like, what's happening now, and the acceptance is getting, like, in the global space, like even in the church, you know, because, you know, then like you see pastors don't even like support the movement. But now, like, they're having like Afro gospel artists come to a main church event.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like, you know, everybody's accepting it. And the more everybody's accepting it, the bigger it's becoming, the bigger it becomes. Like, if you look at the experience, you know, they invited, Prince Emmanuel was invited. That was a big win, you know, for the Afro gospel space, you know. Yeah. And, you know, like, the church is supporting everybody's, I've, you know, it's like accepting the sound. So in the next few years, Afro gospel is going to be big, like really big. You know, Limotu is doing an amazing, you know, through the grace of God, he's doing an amazing job with, you know, this collaboration he's having with this artist, like international artist, you know, which is really giving the Afro gospel exposure.
Yeah.
You know, so with all this exposure, with the collaborations, a lot of artists, you know, being like Afro gospel artists, they are very consistent. Like, very, the consistency is like really great, you know. So I feel like very soon, it's just gonna be like a household, you know, thing, you know, that everyone would be on it, you know, and God will use it to like bless lives, you know. And, you know, change lives. You know, I have, even as producers, I've had a lot of producers, you know, come to me to say, how is this done? I want to do it for God. I want to produce for God, you know. So I feel like even like there'll be some like also amazing producers, you know, to spring up to, you know, confidently, you know, say like I'm an Afro gospel producer, or I'm a, you know, which is a good thing, you know. So it's all these things are happening, the space becomes bigger. Yeah.
Absolutely. I have two more questions for you before you go, right? Mm-hmm. What are you working on? Like, what is the future for T-Babs? Like, what should we look out for? Because you're an artist as well, you know.
yeah, of course.
So
by God's grace, I move as what God as God reveals to me. That's how I move. You know, but right now I'm working on like projects. I'm working on Red Blast project. I'm working on a few songs on the Limos project. And for me personally, I'm working on some other songs. A lot of people have been asking me for, when you go do album. I wouldn't say when that is coming, but I'm, you know, putting in work and, you know, also like having that strong leading to do that. But yeah. Also, like going into A&R, which okay. I feel I'm already doing that already, but like in like big still time, bad. Yeah, like big time, A&R, just you know bringing artists together, finding like talent here and there, you know, and just try to see how I can help them achieve, you know, gradually, you know what they want to achieve or what God wants to do through them, you know, basically. So that's where it is.
Blessed and still blessed.
Also, to the producer community, like they are really that's one thing I'm working on it already. You know, I'm building a team of producers, like Kingdom producers, and because that's where my passion is really, like, you know, because I've had like loads of DMs, producers messaging me, like, you know, how do I go about this? You know, how do I navigate? How, you know, the pressure, the temptation, you know, I have to do this, I have to do that. So this, I'm just building that, I'm wanting to build that platform for producers to, you know, give them like tips, you know, pitch them to like artists, you know, like pitch them for, you know, just the A&R, just for like Kingdom producers, you know. So nice. There's a whole lot I'm working on.
that's a lot. That's a lot. And we are praying for all the grace that you need to get this done and much more in Jesus' name. So finally, a lot of people want to work with T-Babs, right? That's of no doubt. But the question here is, who does T-Babs want to work with? what would T-Babs love to work with, do a record with, produce a song for, or, you know, feature with? Or what would he like to work with?
So, Ron, come again.
As in, someone that you haven't worked with yet.
I think. That question, because for me, really, for me, I just go. I don't have any particular person in mind, but one person that I love to work with really is Mercy Chinwo. I really love Mercy Chinwo's music. I love to also make music with Kirk Franklin. I love to make music, yeah, but I mean on like Afro vibes, you know.
Okay.
You are not like it's kind of music like Afro kind of vibes, and probably it's kind of music like just put balance to it. I don't think he has done any Afro gospel, like Afro. Mm-mm. You know, fusion or whatever it is, but yeah, so I have a list of artists, but it's not that I'm just a kingdom guy that as God is leading me, you know, you know, he's leading me, he's, yeah. You know, he's bringing people, he's leading me to people, he's leading people to me, you know, that's how I move basically.
Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been T to the Babs. You know, that's one producer that shares the same first letter of my name.
So, yeah, that's true.
Thank you so much for taking out time to be on this show with me today. And you know, this one between you and I, you know that it's been a show.
Yeah.
This is between you and I. So thank you so much for plugging in, for sharing with us. And I'm sure a lot of people have learned one or two things from this. And thanks for all that you do for the Afro Gospel community. I'm trusting God to do great things and big things, way bigger than you can think, imagine, or even expect in this new season. So yes, thank you so much, guys. You can follow T-Babs on social media. Hit him up. Just maybe he's going to produce a track for you, or just maybe... you can actually stumble into some of his great works. He's got some stuff with some other genres outside of Afro gospel, from lo-fi to soul to a lot of stuff. So if you delve into his catalog on whatever streaming platform that you're on, I bet you're going to have yourself a really good treat. On that note, it's a big thank you to you for being a part of the show. Once again, thank you so much. God bless you so much. God bless you. God bless you. Much love. And
thank you too for having me.
Yes. Such a pleasure.
God bless you.
All right, guys.
And God bless you for all you do for the kingdom. It's really appreciated.
We thank God. Yeah. We thank God for the grace. All right. So, guys, keep streaming Afro gospel music. Keep sharing with your friends. God bless you. Till I see you on the next one with my next guest on the Afro Gospel podcast. God bless you, and bye for now.